Welcome back to Wellness for the Hot Mess, where we explore topics around holistic wellness, embodiment, entrepreneurship, and navigating the complexities of the human experience. These are real, raw, and vulnerable conversations between us, our community, and experts in their field. Our intention of every single episode is to inspire you to simplify your wellness routine. Because let's be real, less is more. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome to Wellness for the Hot Mess. It's just Kristen today. It's been a minute since it's just been you and I. Lex had a crazy busy week this week. As per usual, she's always running around doing the coolest shit. And I sat down today with the most epic guest. So we have an amazing episode for you today. But before we get into the episode, I just wanted to check in. How are you doing? How are you? I feel like this time of year is tricky. February, end of February, beginning of March. We want spring, summer so bad, but we still have to get through those final weeks where it's kind of cold and gray and rainy, maybe where you are. I feel like these are the weeks that really put my mental health to the test because I'm so close, but it feels like you're so far from that beautiful weather, from summer. So how are you? I know for myself personally, I feel like I am in go mode. It is like chaotic energy happening in my brain all of the time right now. This is going to be a big month for me, a big transition month, which is funny because I feel like every month is a big transition month. If you are a listener of the podcast, you are frequently hearing me transitioning from one thing to the next. I have to say, I'm looking forward to not doing a big life transition or a big life move after this one for some time. But I also do have to validate for anyone out there who is just like me and is constantly changing their environment that I think I've known from like a young age, I was always going to be this way. I was never happy in one place. I always did a ton of sports. That's like one thing I can remember is I always wanted to master all of the sports. I was someone who was constantly jumping from friend group to friend group growing up. I've always been on the go. It's always been a part of my personality trait. I think I used to almost look at it as a weakness. And now that I am 28 and a year wiser, I am starting to look at it as a strength because it takes a lot for me to settle. And I am very much in that we have one life, we have to do what makes us happy. And I'm starting to step into that as a power. You know, I couldn't imagine living any other way. I couldn't imagine settling the first time that I felt comfortable and then just staying there forever. So although change and transition is hard, it's hard work and it's a lot on your body, it's a lot on your mind. I am so happy for the next chapter that I'm stepping into. I am excited and I'm just proud of myself for never sitting down, stepping back and saying like, this is good enough. I'm proud of myself for never settling with what's good enough because I know there's always something better. Yeah. So without further ado, the big life change and big life transition, it's not that crazy whatsoever. I did mention in last episode that I was stepping away from fitness, which is important because I've been doing fitness for 6 years now, I think, so 6+ years. But I am stepping away from fitness as a full-time career. I will still have personal training on the side. I love, love, love the girls that I work with in personal training. So I'll still have that aspect of my life. But I'm stepping away from group fitness for now, and I am returning to school, which I am so freaking excited about. I can't even like begin to tell you how aligned I feel in this decision, how right this feels. And if you're like, whoa, weren't you in school like a year ago? What do you mean? Are you going to a different school? What's happening? You are correct. I started my doctorate degree in acupuncture and Chinese medicine a year and a half ago. I took a semester break when I moved to New York. I just knew that summer moving, transferring campuses, all of the things was going to be difficult. So I took a semester break semester break ended up turning into a year break, but I am so excited to go back to school. I was thinking about it on my walk today, and I was like, I started school at the perfect time because I knew it was something I really was passionate about and looking forward to, but I also stopped and took a pause at the perfect time. I know if I continued to push through this last year, I would no longer feel as passionate about it, or I would feel burnt out, or it just wouldn't be as easy of a decision as it is now because I would have been pushing through something. And this year was definitely more about taking care of my mental health, taking care of my physical health. So stepping back, and kind of I think about the episode we had with Jenny Adishian called The Divine Pause. I think stepping back and having a divine pause was so important for me this year. And it is the reason why I think going back now again to school is going to be so much more successful, because I needed time to grow and I needed time to figure out my priorities. And that's exactly what happened this year. And I feel so aligned with this. Like when I first signed up for school, I knew it was something I wanted to do and go back to school for. But this time around, having taken the break and having figured out what I want my future to look like and what feels aligned for me is so different this time around. When I first started the degree in acupuncture a year and a half ago, I was very passionate about it and I was excited. But now it is so different. I'm so drawn into this experience. I feel like I've immersed myself completely and I've prepared myself completely the correct way. You know, I was working almost three jobs when I first started school. When I went back to get my doctorate degree, I was teaching at SoulCycle. I was opening the new boxing studio in Chicago at Rumble, and I was nannying and I was babysitting on the side as well. So I had so much going on top of school. I remember I would do homework when the baby was sleeping at nannying. I would try to do homework in between classes at Rumble. I had to drop classes at SoulCycle my Saturday morning because that was like dedicated study time. So there was a lot going on. And now stepping back and seeing why I was so burnt out and stressed is because when you're pursuing your doctorate degree, especially in something like Chinese medicine, which I don't know nearly half of what that's about. This is all so new to me. This requires your full undivided attention. It requires everything. So I remember going to class and speaking with some of my classmates. And when I would mention that I had work or something like that, a lot of them were like taken aback that I was still working full time. Most of them were full time student and they couldn't believe that I was working on top of it. And now I understand why. I completely see why and I understand. And now, second time around, I've made the conscious decision to step away from group fitness and to focus solely on being a student. I will have a part-time job, I'm sure, to make a little bit of income to help myself survive. But my undivided attention this time around is going towards finishing this doctorate degree. I do have a ways to go with it. And just like on my manifestation board, I have graduating like the top of my class. That's always what I've been passionate about, is being the best at everything I do. And I'm so connected to this step in my life in this chapter that I know I want to go 100% effort, 100% energy, and just give it my all. So that's the big to-do, that we are switching up a little bit. I think I get nervous to talk about big decisions I'm making because I used to think so many people would judge all of the crazy decisions that I make. And I'm in a space where I'm like, who is anyone to judge the decisions I make in my life? But I have come to realize that nobody really cares what I'm doing as much as I think that other people are constantly thinking about me. We all have so much on our plate. We all have so much going on. And I've just realized that a part of having a platform like a podcast and a part of having a platform on social media is sharing a little bit of my life. And I am so excited and happy to share this next transition. With that being said, school is back in Chicago. I'm sure you were asking where school was. So came to New York for a year and she's moving back to the Midwest. So I am going back to school in Chicago when I started, majority of the classes were virtual and online because of COVID. Now everything is pretty much back in class. So I do have to relocate, obviously, closer to campus to finish. And this is just like another big decision I had to make, something that was a no-brainer to me. I have lived in Chicago for 3 years prior. I have an amazing support system there. I love the city itself. I am definitely a little sad to leave the East Coast. I love the East Coast. I had a really beautiful, amazing summer, and I had a really beautiful and amazing winter. Being on the East Coast for all four seasons is definitely something that I will never take for granted again. And I do hope to return back to the East Coast someday, especially when I finish school. I would love to come back here when I'm graduated and maybe start my career back on the East Coast. But for now, we're heading back to the Midwest. And that's it. That was my big announcement. So many exciting things coming in the future. I am feeling so aligned. If this resonates with anybody listening, big decisions when they come and you have to make them, I've been on both sides now, and I see that and I feel that. I've been on the side where you have a big decision to make, you make it, and it doesn't feel aligned. And I've also been on the other side of you have a big decision to make, you make it, and it feels so aligned. So now that I've seen both sides and I am on the other side of feeling really aligned and really good about this decision, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to go back to the 50-50 where I'm somewhat feeling good and somewhat not. I think the move to New York in the first place was one of those 50-50s. It was, I wanted to be closer to my family on the East Coast, but I also knew that I had to finish something in Chicago, which was school. So now that I've had the other experience, the other side of really feeling aligned to something, especially when it comes to my own life and a big decision I have to make, I don't think I could ever go back to the ways of not feeling completely 100% aligned with it, which is so good. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be on the other side of not letting others affect my decisions anymore and really staying true to myself and really listening to my intuition. It feels so good. And it feels like all the work I've put in over the last couple years is finally paying off. And I'm excited. I am excited. This will be a stressful month for sure. I am moving at the end of the month because summer sessions start in May. I do want to be settled in April and figured out with my apartment. And I want to go into school without any distractions. So I am moving at the end of the month, but I'm really excited. I think this is going to be so good for me to be a student again. I've always loved being a student. When I graduated Villanova, I remember thinking how sad I was that I wasn't going to be a student anymore. So it feels really good. And to any of my fit pros out there, I have been in fitness for so long. It's like second nature to me now. It's so scary to step away. And it's something that I can do. And I know like the back of my hand, and I can do with my eyes closed. It comes so natural and easy to me. Even though it's so scary and so hard to step away, I know that I'm not permanently away from fitness. I can always go back if I want to. But I do have to say, I am so excited to be a student again in fitness. I am so excited to not have to worry about playlisting and formatting a class. Instead, now I can go to a class and enjoy the playlist and move my body and enjoy learning something new and being a student again. So a lot to look forward to, a lot of anxiety around the move and a lot of things, or anxiety around a lot of things going on in my personal life. But the overall theme is I'm feeling like I'm taking a step towards feeling like myself again with these decisions. And that is something that I'm really, really excited for because, you know, I've talked about it in previous episodes. I haven't been feeling like myself for some time now. So this is something that just feels so aligned. And I am really excited to take you guys along for the ride of being a full-time student again. And I can't wait to see what happens 3-4 years from now when I'm graduated and I have a doctorate degree in acupuncture. It's going to be crazy. But anyway, let's get into today's episode because we had such a fantastic guest on today. I actually had somebody reach out on our Instagram page a few weeks ago asking to collaborate on an episode regarding period health. And that's the exact conversation we are having today. So Kate Morton is on the podcast today. Kate is the founder of Funkit Wellness and a TEDx speaker. She's a registered dietitian and she has a master's degree in human clinical nutrition. She teaches about menstrual health and nutrition. And Kate wants to help women and menstruators feel in control of their bodies and have a positive relationship with food and menstrual cycles. This conversation was so impactful for myself. I learned so much about my period health. I was able to listen to Kate explain period health in a way that was so much easier for me to understand. And I know it's going to be for you as well. And it was so digestible. It felt really good to have this conversation. I had a lot of my own questions answered, and I know that this will inspire someone out there to take their period health a little more seriously. And maybe you've been experiencing some symptoms that Kate talks about today, and maybe now you have an answer. Maybe it's time to check in on that period health and see what's going on with your body, because this topic is so important and it is not talked about enough. I hope this is the first of many conversations on period health here at Wellness for the Hot Mess. And I am so excited for you to listen to this amazing conversation. Anything regarding Kate will be available in the show notes. So if you want to find her on Instagram, if you want to find her website or send her a message, that'll all be below in the show notes. And reminders to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have YouTube now. You can see our lovely faces. We've got our YouTube channel going. I know personally when I listen to podcasts, I like to have them on in the background when I'm cleaning or doing the dishes. So it's nice to have a visual as well on the TV. So subscribe to our YouTube page. That's in the show notes as well. We are Wellness for the Hot Mess podcast on YouTube. And leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. That is the best way for us to see what you guys like, if you are enjoying the podcast, what you want to see more of. And finally, join our Facebook group. We have a Facebook community filled with the most amazing women. In this Facebook group, you have access directly to myself and Lexi, and you have access to all of our future group gatherings, our community dumps. So in order to join a community dump, the link is always available in that Facebook community. And that's kind of our go-to place for dropping any free knowledge, any courses, anything that we want to offer you guys. It's all in that Facebook group. So if you want to join that group, you can always click the link in our Instagram bio. We have the Facebook group link in there. Lots of great stuff coming your way this summer too. So stay tuned for that. But for now, please enjoy today's very important conversation with the most amazing Kate Morton. All right. Welcome to Wellness for the Hot Mess. Kate Morton, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing so well, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm just like obsessed with y'all's podcast and like the name of it. Just it, I identify with it so much when it comes to wellness of just doing what works for you and like doing your best, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just amazing.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I know when I first started the podcast 2 years ago, the name, once it came to me, I knew I wanted to start a wellness balance podcast. And once the name came to me, I was like, oh my God, this is it forever. So, but thank you. I appreciate you. I also love the name of what you've got going on over there, Funkit Wellness. So let's dive right into it, because I want to hear all about how you started Funkit Wellness, what your inspirations were behind the company, and kind of where that name came from. So let our listeners know more about Funkit Wellness.
Yeah. So my name's Kate. I'm a registered dietitian. I've got a master's degree in human clinical nutrition. I'm also integratively and functionally trained. So I did the Western certification to become an RD. Then I went back and did the integrative and functional certification because I think they just work so well together. And Funkit really came from a personal need. I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur because I've worked with so many startups and so many small businesses, and I saw how hard it was. And I'm convinced when you say never is when life is like, actually, just kidding, this is what you're going to fall in love with and end up doing. But I was living in New Zealand and I had Nexplanon, which is like that implant-based birth control in my arm. And I honestly just had such bad side effects to it. I bled every day for 2 years, and not like a full period, but spotting, and like really hurt my confidence. And just, I didn't feel good about myself or connected to my body. So I got it out and I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to just feel like this cycle syncing goddess. No, I had like horrible acne. My period took like 6 months to come back. When it did come back, I honestly wished it hadn't because it was so bad. Because what I didn't know at the time was all those underlying issues that I had gone on birth control for were just laying in wait, and they weren't being fixed or solved. They were just getting worse. Mm. And so I had to get to the root cause of those issues. And I was about to go on Accutane when I got introduced to seed cycling, which as a dietitian, I thought was total BS. I was like, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way that if I didn't learn about this in my like fancy education, that this is a real thing. I was so humbled to find out I was so wrong. And that's kind of how I got into the hormone world and really educating around the power of food and helping people understand their menstrual cycles, because I didn't learn any of that in my like traditional training or my life. And it has been the thing that has changed my life the most.
Mm, such a powerful story. I think so many are going to relate to that. I actually had my mom on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and we did an episode. She's a midwife. So we did an episode more on women's health and overall women's health and just kind of gaining confidence on your own health, because we go into gynecologist appointments, we go into the doctors, and we're scared. We don't want to talk about period health because it's not talked about ever. And a lot of the times when we walk into these offices, a big thing my mom was pushing on the episode was like, find the person you're most comfortable with. It's like a therapist. It's like a car. You're not just going to get the first one you see. You're going to try a couple other until you feel confident and comfortable. But that's what my mom's episode was about, was just feeling comfortable to open up about all of these things. Because as women, when we're younger, the period talk is kind of just like you sit down, you do it, and that's it. And there's no more talk about it. So I absolutely love your mission and what you guys are doing over there at Funkit Wellness. And I think this episode is going to be so helpful for so many women. Tell me more about seed cycling. So what exactly is seed cycling, and is it similar to cycle syncing?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so seed cycling is, in my opinion, it's something that fits in and aligns with cycle syncing. And it follows these same principles of using your menstrual cycle to guide what you're eating and how you're moving and how you're living. And, you know, it's funny because when you first start, like, or when I first started learning about this, I was like so overwhelmed. I was like, okay, so now I have to change my whole life. Mm. And that's what seed cycling was really helpful. It was kind of like my first introductory into this. So essentially what it is you track your menstrual cycle, which is step one. And from the first day of your period, which is the first day of your cycle, until you ovulate, which everyone's a little bit different. I actually ovulate usually on day 17. The average is day 14, or like halfway through your cycle. You're going to have 1 tablespoon of organic flax seeds and 1 tablespoon of organic pumpkin seeds. Ground and organic is going to be really important. Then after you ovulate, if you're temperature tracking, you'll know when your temperature spikes that next day. You're going to switch to your sesame and sunflower seeds, ground, organic, 1 tablespoon of each. You do this every single day, and you add it to the foods you're already eating. So I want people to think of this as a beautiful addition, a nutrient topper for your cycle.
Mm.
The reason I think it fits so beautifully into cycle syncing is you don't have to sync your entire grocery list right off the bat. You can actually start with these two things and know that you're shifting your nutrition effortlessly with your cycle, and you just add it to what you're already doing. And then as you learn your cycle and you learn yourself, you can continue to go down that path more organically.
Mm, so it's literally seeds that you're adding in, which is so crazy. I would have never thought that. And it's so simple, which is why I appreciate this conversation, because what we bring to our listeners is like simple wellness and not feeling overwhelmed. So getting more into period health and your own experiences, I want the listeners to kind of know, what are some red flags when it comes to their period? Because everyone, again, is so different, and everyone is a little cautious when it comes to asking questions and asking their friends questions and their doctors, because it's uncomfortable. So what are some kind of like red flags in period health where someone should recognize and be like, ooh, maybe this is something that's not normal, or maybe I should ask my gyno about this?
That's such a good question, because we usually go to like our mom, our grandma, our sister, somebody who is going to probably have the similar cycle to us. We ask them, oh, my cramps are so bad, I can't get out of bed in the morning. Do you have that? Is that normal? The answer is probably going to be, oh yeah, I've had that. Your mom has that. Your grandma has that. It's just part of our genetics. It's normal. So this was my biggest awakening when it came to period health, was extreme period pain. And normal is a tricky word because I know that it can be a little triggering. Let's like think about like normal. Yes, these symptoms are going to be normalized in society. 90% of women and people with periods have some kind of PMS symptom that makes them alter their life. So they are quote unquote normal, but they are not necessarily medically normal or optimal. So quick caveat. If your cycle, like when you're having your period, you're in so much pain that you can't get out of bed or you're having to change your daily activities or call into work, red flag number one. We need to be talking to our doctor. We need to be figuring out, making some changes because period pain can be very extreme. And right now we're actually in endometriosis awareness month, and endometriosis is very common. And it's something that so many people live with, and it's so debilitating, but they're kind of gaslit around their pain. So one, if you have a little bit of cramping, your uterus is a muscle. It's pushing out your lining a little bit. It's normal. But if you are having to change your life because of it, red flag one. Two, super heavy bleeding. So if you're having to change your cup, tampon, period, undies, pad, any kind of period product, 2 hours or less after you put it in, we want to go talk to our doctor. That's a red flag. Number three, clots in your period blood that are larger than the size of a dime. So some clotting, normal. Again, you're shedding tissue from your lining, your endometrial lining. But if it's larger than a dime, which is really pretty small when you think about it, that's a sign that it could be estrogen dominance. And that's also linked to heavy, painful periods. You're going to want to go talk to your doctor. Another one is extreme mood swings leading up to your period. And that's one I actually recently found out that I didn't know I had a PMDD diagnosis on my chart. I got diagnosed really young, like before I was on birth control. I actually just found out like 2 weeks ago when I went to the gynecologist. So that was on my record. And that was one of the reasons my mom wanted me to be on birth control. And so what that looks like is, you know, re-questioning your entire life a week or two before your period, you know, not being able to get out of bed, extreme sadness and sorrow, extreme anxiety. And I like to call it cyclical anxiety, because if you're like, wow, I feel great most of the month, it's just this like 1 week, I just really feel horrible. If you think about that, that's a fourth of your life that you're feeling that way. So talk to your doctor. PMDD is also very common. And then other ones would be hormonal acne. It is something that comes from hormone imbalance. I am someone who, I don't know if you can see the video, but my skin is very clear now. I had such painful inflammatory hormonal acne. It was like ear to ear that when I would lay down to go to sleep at night, my pillow would like hurt my face and I almost went on Accutane. So there's a lot we can do for hormonal acne. Migraines around your period are another sign of hormonal imbalance. Cycles that are coming sooner than 21 days. So you're having a cycle basically every 3 weeks or more than 35 days. So if you're outside of those two windows, that's going to show that we're either not ovulating consistently or ovulating too frequently. And then you want it to come regularly for you. My cycle is 30 days, but it's regularly 30 days for me. So whatever's regular for you. That's a lot of information. We can like pin it anywhere and like keep going. I could talk about this all day.
Totally. I appreciate it. It's crazy though, because as you're sitting here telling me these symptoms and red flags, they're so normalized. Like I've experienced almost all of these and it's always been brushed off as just that's part of growing up. That's part of your period. Even with my mom as a midwife, back when I was younger, before she became a midwife and she was just a nurse, she was like under the same impression. She was like, those are symptoms. And now that she's also taken the step to educate herself more on women's health, she also recognizes now that that's not right. And she helps a lot of my friends as well with those things. But it's the acne part for me is crazy, because I was on Accutane twice and not once did my dermatologist, not once did my physician, my gynecologist put together period health and the acne. Not once. It was always just, you were the luck of the draw. You happen to have the bad skin in the family. And like, that's just that, you're going to have to get through it. So when I went through Accutane twice, I actually noticed when I was finishing the second time around, I was entering into college. And when I got to college, I was able to make all of my own choices on how I was moving my body, how I was nourishing my body. And I was really into wellness my first year of college. And I remember trying new foods at the food hall, trying to eat really clean and take care of my body. And that was like the moment my skin completely cleared up. And I was like, I knew this wasn't just, I was the unlucky one that got acne. I knew this was something deeper, and it's always something deeper. And I think that's the important part of this conversation. And I really hope women listening can understand that and ask these questions. I'm curious then for you, how has everything you've talked about so far, how has taking charge of your period health, how has tracking all of these things and learning more about it changed your life and your experience as a woman? Because we don't even realize, like you said, it was such a big wake up call to me when you said 1/4 of your life is going to be spent feeling that way. And that's a big chunk. I want to hear how you feel now and what your experience has been and how it's changed your life taking period health so seriously.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I get asked. I post on LinkedIn a lot about period health, which LinkedIn, but you know, it's what it is. And people will be like, isn't this like dramatic to sync your entire life with your cycle? And like, people have a lot of opinions. And when I tell you, it has completely changed my life, my business, my confidence. I had an eating disorder. I mean, I think I had an eating disorder for a long time. I still have struggle. You know, it's one of those things like I'll be in therapy for the rest of my life for it. And I'm grateful that I can do that. I have never truly loved my body until I started cycle syncing and understanding my body. Like I look in the mirror most days. And I'm like, wow, you are incredible. Like you are doing so much today. You are shifting through your whole cycle. And I think the other thing is as women, we're really taught and told like, you need to keep up. You need to do this. You know, just so much pressure to perform in every aspect of your life. And we're not taught how to use our cycles to sync that with it. And so I remember when I first started my business, even though it was about period health, I was pushing myself just to perform constantly and work late nights and not get enough sleep and not feed my body the way I should and not take my own advice. And my mental health, my physical health, and my business health suffered from that. There's so much power in living in alignment with your cycle, and it creates ease in your life. I felt like my whole life I was swimming upstream, and then I started sinking all of these things, and I finally felt like I was kind of still in the raft, like white waters, but I was in a raft and I was floating and I was going with the current. So, you know, it doesn't make your life perfect, but it truly has changed so much, and I feel better. I love myself for the first time. I take care of myself. I honor my body. And I love helping other people learn to do the same thing because I mean, it does sound dramatic, but when you start doing this, it took me about a year to feel this way. I did it for about a year consistently. And I'm like, wow, I could never go back to living the way I was living before.
Yeah, absolutely. I want the conversation on period health to kind of transform into a conversation like we talk about our beauty routines on TikTok. Every other video is someone's get ready with me, or we're talking about gut health all the time. I think why people resonate the most with those conversations is because there's always like an easy action step after. For example, if you're watching a get ready with me, it's like, this is the eye cream I use. If you want bright eyes, here it is. Or for gut health, like I take this probiotic. What are tangible things the listeners can pick up besides the seed cycling today that they can also add in? Because I know it sounds corny, but like having things that you can pick out or buy or having little items that you can have around your house and see visually, that always makes it easier for us to add into our routine versus just waking up and being like, okay, now I have to mentally check in with my cycle. What's going on? What are the like kind of giveaways, the give outs that we can get and add into our routine?
Yeah. And so I'm going to do two sections, a free section of like things you can do today. Like after you listen to this podcast, you can get started. And then I'm going to do like a nice to have things that I really love for taking care of my cycle that might be a little bit more of a splurge. So step one, sleep. And as a dietitian, when I'm working with a new client, the first thing we work on is sleep. And they think we're going to jump straight into food. And it's actually like getting enough sleep, especially if you have a menstrual cycle. I mean, for everyone, but especially if you have a menstrual cycle, you are not resetting every single day. You are resetting every single cycle and you're recharging at night. So 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And I know sleep can be tricky. So some tips around that have really helped me because I had a really hard time, like, especially during the pandemic, being home so much, like, being able to settle in. So if you can reduce your screen time an hour before bed, eat a high protein snack like sometime after dinner, because it's going to help you not have a cortisol spike and wake up in the middle of the night. Mm. And if you can do some kind of getting ready for bed routine, it can be as simple as I'm going to wash my face, put on my moisturizer, brush my teeth. I'm going to lay in bed and think of five things I'm grateful for that day and then try to sleep. That's like, that will revolutionize your hormone health, because your hormones are, you, a lot of them are produced while you're sleeping. Mm. And so you think about that and you're like, oh, no wonder I'm so imbalanced. It's because I'm not getting enough sleep. The second one is finding a stress routine, like a de-stressing routine that is important to you and that's simple and that you can do every day, whether it's sitting outside for 5 minutes in the sun, watering your plants, reading a book. If you can just make 5 to 10 minutes a day to de-stress, one, it's going to help with your sleep. Mm. But two, it's going to help you get more in line with your menstrual cycle, because when we're stressed, it can push ovulation back and that can cause some of those irregular cycles. So you're going to get more in touch with your cycle. And number three is find a period tracking app that you really like. There are so many good ones out there now. I think that that's the first step in all of this, is just taking a month or 2 months or 3 months to track your cycle and just note down how you're feeling. Because it's one of those things where in the beginning, you may not know where you are. Now I can wake up and tell you exactly where I am in my cycle. 5 years ago, I had no idea there was even four phases. So start small, just start with tracking your period and noting down. I always feel really creative in my follicular phase. I always feel really social when I'm ovulating. I really question my life decisions in my luteal phase and it's setting me back every month. Or I'm really good at cleaning my house in that phase because I want to get that out of the way. So focus on sleep, focus on de-stressing, and find a period tracking app that you enjoy and take notes. So that's kind of like the foundation. Now, if you're ready to be like, okay, I did the foundation and I'm ready to like really rev it up, I have an Oura Ring, which I'm not affiliated with them at all. I've had one for like 2 or 3 years. I love it. And mine integrates with Natural Cycles, which is another app. So it automatically takes my temperature every single morning, imports it through Bluetooth to Natural Cycles, and then Natural Cycles and my Oura Ring tell me where I am in my cycle.
Wow.
And they keep me up to date. And then that's what I also use for birth control. Another one is if you have access to a sauna, I feel like saunas are like the ultimate like hormone health helper. And then if you're interested in syncing your exercise with your cycle, there is a new app called Wellness 28. Also not affiliated with them. I just personally use it and think it's really cool. You put in your cycle and when you log into the app, it gives you like 5 different choices of exercises you could do that day. They're all between like 15 and 30 minutes depending on where you are. Yeah. I just take my phone with me to the gym and I'll do them, and like it's just nice because they're tracking your cycle for you, they're telling you what's good for you, and then they've also got some other good resources. So those are like the things I would recommend. And then obviously seed cycling. That's like a given. I do that every day.
Totally. So appreciative of all those tips. They're amazing and they're so easy to add. So we had a couple questions from listeners who were curious about some more topics when it came to period health. And I think the biggest one we got, there was two on the top that people wanted to discuss a little bit. The biggest one that we got was period and alcohol. So a lot of people are transitioning into this dry phase of their life, which I love because I'm not drinking as much anymore. Lex isn't either. I'm 28, Lex is in her 30s. And we're like, taking a step back from our relationship with alcohol while finding balance, because I do love a glass of wine at night, but I'm definitely having a new relationship with partying, going out, drinking hard liquor, that type of deal. But a lot of people are wondering, now that the topic of alcohol is so prevalent in our society and kind of stepping away from alcohol, period health and alcohol, is it related? If you're drinking, if you're not drinking, I've never thought of that. So I was so happy to see that people wanted to know more about this.
I know. I'm so excited they asked this because I didn't even touch on this. They are so related. And mm-hmm. I resisted this. Yeah. I love going out. I love like same. Like I love a good cocktail, a good glass of wine. And I resisted this for like the first 4.5 years of this journey. I was like, they're not real. I just like ignored all the peer-reviewed research. I ignored everyone who was telling me this because I didn't want to change this part of my life. But about 5 months ago, I like really checked in with myself and I did the exact same thing. I'm 28, about to turn 29. I was like, I can't keep living this way. Like, I remember I like was going through the Denver airport so hungover and I was like, okay, I can't do this. This is not good for me. So I started digging into it and I actually have had anything to drink in like 5 months.
Wow.
And so I think that's something I'll keep forever because, you know, alcohol is linked to increased inflammation, which is going to cause painful periods. It can impact ovulation. It can delay ovulation. It can shut down ovulation. It can contribute to estrogen dominance and progesterone deficiency. So that means estrogen is that hormone in the first half of your cycle that's helping you to ovulate. Progesterone is what's helping you to kind of relax in the second half. And if you were trying to get pregnant, you know, keep the fetus healthy. And so it can cause higher estrogen and lower progesterone. And on top of all of that, it can also cause blood sugar instability, which I didn't touch on this, but your blood sugar, like it changes throughout your cycle. In the first half of your cycle, your follicular phase, you have higher insulin sensitivity. So you can process complex carbohydrates more effectively and use them better. And in the second half of your menstrual cycle, you have less insulin sensitivity and you actually need to consume more energy and more protein to help to stabilize your blood sugar. Alcohol is going to mess with all of that. So yeah, if you were listening and you were like me 4 years ago and you're really hoping I was going to say, no, they're not impacted at all. They are very tied together. And really it comes down to inflammation too. I mean, inflammation, we're doing so many things in our modern world that cause inflammation. And we know alcohol is a poison that directly is impacted by that.
We are like in denial that alcohol is bad. I swear. I go back and forth every week. It's something that I'm still learning to balance. But I feel like as of recently, all signs are pointing to alcohol is just poisoning your body. And it's like, why are we doing this? But topic it's for hard. Another day. It is
it's hard.
It's really hard.
And it's so ingrained in our society. Like the first month I gave up alcohol, every time I'd walk into like a party, I'd want to punch everybody. Like I was
absolutely.
Like, this is so hard. So it's definitely not an easy thing. And if you can find balance, more power to you. That's just not something I could do.
Totally. Totally. I agree. Second topic that we had a lot of questions on, you and I actually talked about this a little bit before, but period health and your sex life and kind of balancing the two, what should sex feel like around your menstrual cycle? Are there red flags with that as well? And I know a lot of people are curious, like having sex on your period. That's like a big topic as well. I have a lot of girlfriends that are very pro and a lot of girlfriends that are like, I could never. So tell us more about your sex life and your period health and your menstrual cycle and your period and sex.
Yeah. So much, so many things to talk about this. And I did a whole podcast episode. I can send you on this too if anyone's like interested. And so it is insane that we are not talking about this more because again, I think this is another area of life that's stigmatized and there's a lot of shame around it, especially women's pleasure and female pleasure is just so stigmatized. And it's frustrating because it's compared to like male sex drive and male pleasure and we are not the same. Mm-mm. And like, we have to like think about things so differently. So like we are working all month, our bodies are working all month through this cycle and we have different hormones all the time. Guys have like one hormone all the time, always ready to go. So first off, if you are not in the mood every single day, that is totally okay. And please don't be hard on yourself because I think that we're just already so hard on ourselves. So like, let's take that off your plate.
Right.
One, on your period, if you want to have sex, have sex. That is a great time to have sex. You know, you have more lubrication at this time. Some people are really into it. Some people are really not. I definitely think that's like your choice. But intimacy can also look like a back rub, a foot rub, a bath together, you know, snuggling, a movie. Like there's so many different ways we can create intimacy in this phase. And also if your partner's tracking your menstrual cycle, it's another way to create intimacy and for them to understand more of what you're going through. So if you want to have sex on your period, go for it. Great. I did another podcast on that. If you're concerned about the mess, I know a lot of people use menstrual discs and you can actually still have sex while you're using a menstrual disc. You can have sex in the shower. If you're worried about mess, you can put a towel down. You can have your special period sex towel. I know a lot of friends who have that. So go for it. And, you know, talk to your partner about it too. Like, I listened to this podcast that was really great. I can't remember what it was called, but they were saying like, you should like go out to dinner and like talk about your sex life, like go somewhere where you like can't have sex and talk about your sex life.
Totally.
Because you can talk about it more objectively and like talk about it like making a sandwich. So, cause it can be emotional. So that's one. Your follicular phase is when estrogen's rising and you're going to feel a lot more adventurous in this phase. So if there's anything new you're wanting to try, like this is a time you're going to feel confident and excited, like try anything new that you want. And, you know, a great date idea is like going out and trying something new. Like say you've always wanted to take a pottery class, like go take a pottery class and then like come home and try something else new. Like I think that that phase is really fun. You are gearing up to be fertile. And so that's kind of why your sex drive is like slowly rising. Ovulation for like 4 days. If you just feel like you can't get enough of sex, that's probably around ovulation. Our bodies are so timed to try to reproduce. And so that is a time when you probably are going to have, you have the most testosterone going through your body. You're feeling really turned on. Another great time, you're feeling really confident. So like, you know, try new things, try new lingerie, turn the lights on, like whatever you want to do. Like that's a great time to feel yourself and like really check in. And then in your luteal phase, this might be a time for self-pleasure. Like you don't feel like giving a lot of energy to other people. And that's totally okay. And like intimacy also in that phase can look like cleaning your house together. I know that doesn't sound sexy or fun, but it's amazing. Like when you try these little things, like, oh, actually that was sexy. And like that did turn me on. And I do want to do these things. And so that's probably not the best time to try new things. If you want to, go for it. But I had a friend on my podcast and she was like, I like said I wanted to try all these new things. And then I got to my luteal phase and we like tried them. And she was like, I cried because it was just stupid and I didn't want to do it. And so I was like, I just think that that's a time to be really kind and nurturing with yourself and practice meditation, affirmation, self-pleasure. And your cycle resets all over again.
Totally. I love that. It's such an important conversation. And 75-85% of the time, your partner doesn't care that you're on your period. Your partner is not thinking about that. They're not grossed out. It's just that stigma we've had growing up, always feeding into that, like a period's gross or that blood is gross. And it's like 90% of the time, if that right person that you're with, they're not going to care. And they'll probably be a little more appreciative of learning more about it. So then they can also know how to help you, because that's what a partner's all about. So I really love that conversation. I am curious, and I know this is more medical and there's kind of opinions behind this question, but a lot of people wanted to know about different rankings of birth control. So if you could make like an ideal period, say like the pill is number 3 or a ring is number 2 in your experience, I know this is going to be opinion based, but a lot of people are curious about different birth controls because I know a lot of women are just over the pill and they don't want to go off completely. So tell us your experiences with different birth controls.
Yeah. So birth control is such a tricky topic because it didn't work for me. Like hormonal birth control did not work for me personally, but I think it's an important part of women's rights and feeling in control of your body and your cycle. And I think that if you want to be on it, you should be able to be on it. Like, but you should have all the information. Right. So there's a few different ways birth control works. I can actually send you, we did like a whole blog on like breaking down every single birth control, its effectiveness, its risks.
Yeah.
I cannot remember them off the top of my head. But the biggest thing you want to talk to your doctor about is make sure they are okay with you being able to try out different birth controls. Because something that a lot of people run into is they get on a birth control and they know within the first couple weeks that it is not going to work for them. Make sure your doctor's on board with you guys finding what works for you. Because if they are not willing to help you find a new one or to switch, it's time to switch doctors. Because that's going to be the key to this conversation is birth control. If you look at studies, like the studies that are available on women's health and people with menstrual cycles are so far and few between. They are not done to, like, you can't test every single thing on every single person. So talk to your doctor, make sure they're okay with you switching and trying and seeing what works for you. There are some birth controls that have higher risk of blood clot and stroke. If you have migraines or any kind of family history of any of those things, make sure your doctor knows that, because migraines are something that a lot of times can be hormonal, and you want to just make sure your doctor's on the same page. I didn't know that. I get really bad migraines, and I was actually on a birth control that I shouldn't have been on for that. So make sure they know your family history. Make sure they go over all the side effects with you very clearly, very effectively. So if you're looking for a non-hormonal option, but you're still like, I am not ready to track my temperature, that sounds like trouble waiting to happen, because that happens.
Mm-hmm.
The copper IUD is an option, but candidly, copper does kill sperm, and we don't fully understand why. So I think it depends like how you feel about that. And then it can cause heavy, painful periods, but it doesn't have any hormones in it. So I know that was not like the most clear answer, but I'll send you that blog. And I think for anyone who's listening, it's like, I really think the key is finding what works for you and having a doctor that's willing to work with you and get you on the right one. Because I have some friends who absolutely love their birth control. It works so well for them. I just never had a doctor who, like, I went in and told them I was having all these issues, and they were like, oh, we're just going to put you on an estrogen pill to balance out the progesterone that's in your body. And yeah, so I just had a bad experience. But there are good doctors out there who will work with you.
Yeah. Back to my mom's episode, you just have to find them. I mean, if you're going somewhere and you're telling them you have a history with headaches or migraines in your family, and they're just not even acknowledging that, like, that's your sign to maybe go elsewhere and to not be afraid to advocate for yourself, because this is so important. My eyes just got so wide when you mentioned the copper IUD, and because I have the copper IUD and I had no idea about killing sperm. I had no clue. And this is like something for me too. I had a moment where I was like, I think I should be making an appointment to get this out right now, because that's something so important to me. And when I had received the copper IUD, I wasn't told that. And I wasn't told it would lead to heavy periods at all. They were just like, you don't want hormonal with your history with acne and everything. So it's just crazy how 2.5 years ago when I got it, the research I know now, or the research I would have done now, is so different. So that's important for me to acknowledge as well. And then lastly, I just wanted to break this whole conversation down, because I know there's going to be some people listening out there that are like, this is too much. There's not enough time for me to do all of this. This is crazy. Like, I can barely keep up with my own self and my own wellness routine. What's your advice, just from your own experience in all of this, to someone who thinks that this is maybe too much, or that they don't have the time and they're listening and they're like, it sounds great, but you're crazy for thinking I can do any of this?
I'm so glad you asked that. So I would tell you, I am you. Like, I am you. That is who I was 5 years ago. And I was just like running around like crazy. I am such a hot mess in general. I have like severe ADHD but I manage it like through exercise and therapy. Like, I am a hot mess. And I never thought that I could even have a wellness routine, let alone be telling other people, oh, this is a great thing that you should do. So I want to sit with you in that moment that I feel you. And I used to like get so annoyed with like the wellness girlies on the internet of like, I can't go on a 5-mile walk and drink a gallon of water and not drink coffee on an empty stomach. Like, why are you trying to tell me all these things? So my advice is to pick two things. So like, if I could tell you two things, is start eating breakfast, because blood sugar balance, we didn't even get into, but that's the other thing, like blood sugar balance. If you're wanting to take care of your hormones, I'm going to three things. Start eating breakfast and don't drink your coffee on an empty stomach and see how much better you feel. Focus on getting some sleep. See how much better you feel and see how much more time you think you have in your day. And then start tracking your period, because it's going to give you more power around your own body. And I think that once you start doing those three things, they'll become second nature. And then just add one more thing in. So then maybe you start seed cycling and you're like, oh, I actually can sync my nutrition with my cycle. And this is doable for me. And then maybe you start thinking, I'm really craving avocados in the first half of my cycle, but I don't want them at all in the second half. Oh, maybe my body's intuitively cycle syncing and telling me what it wants, because my body's smarter than I thought it was. And then maybe you say, I'm not going to run every day and do Orange Theory and F45 every single day. I'm going to go on a light walk and do what feels good in my body. And then I think you'll be surprised how intuitive the process can become, and you can totally do it and you'll start feeling better. And then from there, you can start making more changes.
So easy, so simple. Kate, thank you so much. You're so amazing. But before I let you go, I have to ask, we ask all of our guests, your hot mess moment of the week or of the month, something that comes to mind that you're like, listen, guys, I'm just like you. I fuck up too. Hot mess moment.
Oh my gosh. I have so many. I am like quite literally a definition of a hot mess. That's why I was so drawn to this podcast. So I'm part of like an entrepreneurs group because, you know, I'm first time entrepreneur, never thought I'd have my own business. And it's like a very professional setting. I'm there. I'm here. I'm like ready to give my, we like share a challenge. I'm getting ready to share my challenge. I'm feeling like great. I opened my mouth and I had an all out meltdown. Like I was literally like bawling my eyes out, crying in front of these people. Like they're all just nodding their heads like, okay. And like, I'm trying to be this like professional, like businesswoman. And I'm just like crying. And you know, it's one of those things that like my first instinct was to feel really embarrassed. And I was like, no, I was just vulnerable and I was myself. And that is, I guess, how I was feeling. So I had like all out meltdown in front of like 12 people this week. So
happens.
I am just like you. Yeah. I don't know. You might not have had that happen to you.
It happens to the best of us. So where can our listeners find you if they want more information, if they want to follow you, if they want to more know about Funkit Wellness, where can they find you?
Yeah. So funkitwellness.com is our website. We've got tons of free information. Like if you listen to this episode and you're like, okay, I'm interested, but again, like this feels like a lot, go to our website, go to our Instagram, go to our TikTok. We break all of this down for free. We've got lots of eBooks, lots of things to help you kind of take the first step. For me personally, I've got a podcast called the Period Chats Podcast. If you want to come over there and listen, we break things down more topic by topic and make it more conversational. And my Instagram is Carbs and Kate. In like a potato carb, you know, and Kate, you can reach out to me anytime. I'm super passionate about trying to help as many people as I can because I think that it's so important. So I'm here for you. I'm cheering for you. I'm on your team. Feel free to use me as a resource in any of those directions.
You're amazing, Kate. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
We are so happy you took the time for yourself and dropped in with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share with someone you love or rate and review. We cannot wait to have you next time, and we'll see you in the community.